And in the mountains, it's the wind that carries the sound of nature and of the wild and speaks to the adventure and tranquility. And beside a serene lake, it's the sound of lapping waves that invite reflection and enable us to think about life and dreams and the deeper truths of why we're here. And as we listen to the sounds of summer, well, we're reminded that life is short, it's fleeting. It was nature in Psalm 90 that inspired the psalmist to pray, "Teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom." And in Scripture, well, that's how we learn to slow down, to walk wisely, to love deeply, and to discover a life well lived.
Equipment failure. How's everybody doing? You didn't steal anything out of it, did you? Not that you have before, right? Jimmy's been known to take my notes and just they not be there when I get up here. So I know how you are. How's everybody doing? Good. Good news. The Cowboys play somebody today they could possibly beat. So I know I'm the only fan here. It's all right. I'll tough it out. I don't think anybody came here today planning to, not planning to change. Otherwise, you just kept sleeping, right? You just stayed in bed. You know, we hope to grow. We hope to change while we're here. So my promise to you is the next 30 minutes, I'm going to give you a way that you could be different by the time you leave today. Okay? And I'm going to give you a way that can grow in your life a little bit. but it's kind of like a teamwork thing, so we're going to have to work together because it's going to require you being open-handed and open-hearted. So I'm going to pray for us before we start. So where you are, just sit. And would you just sit and would you just turn your hands up and just open your hands like this as a way to say, God, I'm ready to receive whatever you got, all right? Let me pray for us. God, we are available to you this morning. Our hands are open, our hearts are open, our minds are open to hear from you, to grow. We want to grow from your words, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. In this series, we're talking about what is a life well lived. And I think everybody has a desire for a life well lived. Nobody wants to live miserable their whole life, although it happens. And you probably know somebody like that, that just can't seem to get off dead center, and they just struggle. But we're talking about a life well lived and what it is. And so, but when I put all these past weeks together that we've been talking about, I thought, what are all these different messages saying together? And I felt like it was a few questions that was kind of asking us, the same questions, all of them together. And so I felt like if you push them all together, it's just the same few questions that keep popping up. Number one, they're asking, are we prioritizing God? And that makes sense to ask you in church, right? That's a good question to ask. Are you prioritizing God? Is that part of your life every day? Is it something that you do every day? Is it something that you're about every day? Then number two, they were asking, are we taking care of our own hearts? Okay, taking care of ourselves. Are we confessing our sins? Are we dealing with shame? Are we getting healed? Are you getting free from things? Those kind of things. And the third one was, are you caring about other people? And that's really what it comes down to, those three things. I found this really interesting as I look back at these themes popping out because I didn't teach anyone how to get more money, sadly, right? I didn't teach anybody how to build bigger muscles. I didn't throw out any dating tips. I didn't throw out any gardening tips. None of that. I didn't do any of that. What I told you is to live the life well lived is to love God and love other people. That's basically what it comes down to. Pretty simple. And so in Matthew 22, if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22. We'll be in 22 and 25. If you don't have one, there's one hopefully right in front of you or somewhere in the pew there. It's on page 692. But in Matthew 22, someone comes to Jesus and they ask him, what is the greatest command? right? And this is something that he was tested a lot. He was asked a lot of questions. But they asked, what's the greatest command? What matters most? What is a life well lived, in other words? And this is what Jesus' answer was. This is Matthew 27, go down to verse 37. It'll be on the screen for you too. Here's what he said. Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and most important command. And the second one is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the writings of the prophets depend on these two commands." Now, I hope that we all live out these verses. I know we're trying to, but I hope it's part of your day every day that we're trying to live these verses out. Love God, love other people as you love yourself. That's a good place to start. This story I'm going to talk about now came from the Bible, and it's kept coming to mind the last few weeks because I just can't get this scripture out of my mind about what it means in regards to particularly how we take care of people, right? How we look after or care for other people, for instance, like our food pantry. I'll use that as an example. This is Matthew chapter 25, so just turn over a couple pages, Matthew 25, and those Bibles in the pews at 695. But this is Matthew 25, and this is towards the end of Jesus' life. Okay, we're getting down to the end of it. And literally, if you turn the page into Matthew 26, it's the middle of Holy Week. He's walking towards Good Friday and being crucified. So that's kind of where the story's at. But in Matthew 25, Jesus is going, "Hey, let me tell you about a life well lived. Let me tell you about that. And I've got some of these instructions to give you before I go. So let me tell you about this." And this is how you do it. This is Matthew 25, go down to verse 31. Here's what he says. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison or go visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Super easy scripture, right? Just easy. Happy October, right? It's just a simple scripture that's been thrown out here today. But let's kind of zoom in. Let's look a little bit closer. I want us to look at think about what Jesus was actually asking of us when he asked us to care for people like we'd be caring for him. Because that's what he's asking us here, to care for people like we care for him. Now, you can understand between my pantry experience, and some of you guys have been in there working in the pantry, and this scripture, why this is messing with me a little bit, and not just these particular times, the pantry, but other issues and people and things and experiences. But this idea of Jesus as a person who was hungry, right? I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And this makes sense, right? Hungry, something to drink, thirsty, give you something, yeah. These are needs that we see people have that we have, right? All of us. You've been hungry and thirsty this morning, right? Because I've seen a lot of you wolf some donuts down really, really fast, right? And some of you are still going, "Oh, coffee, you know, just keep me awake," right? And so we've been hungry and thirsty. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me, right? You helped me like that. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. Meeting the needs of people makes sense to me, right? I don't know about everybody else, but it makes sense to me. But I think it's so interesting because you'll notice that the one is different was that I was in prison, and you came to visit. That's a little bit different. Food for the hungry, clothes for the naked, right? But a visit. Now, I sat with a minister friend of mine when I was in Arizona, and he was the guy who took groups to the prison all the time. And you could go, and different one of us would go with him, and we'd either speak or do a devotion or do part of their service, whatever it might be. And so he led the team that would go there. I said, help me understand this. We're talking about this scripture. And this is what we get to do with scripture. I said, help me understand this. This is what we get to do. And I hope you do this with your friends, your groups, whatever you're in. If you don't yet, let's go, because you could sit down with your people and go, hey, I'd love to understand this. I do not get this. What does this mean, right? And just with each other, figure it out. So I said, I'd love to understand your take on this. That's what I asked him. One of the things he did was remind me of what a prison was like in 30 AD. And I think it's really important, because when Jesus was teaching, he was teaching out loud, and there were people all around listening to him all the time. Even, in other words, people were in close, and then there was probably another group, and there was people on the outskirts that were standing far enough away they wouldn't, you know, I'm not with the group, but I'm sure listening. And so they could hear him out loud, and he was saying, I was a prisoner, and you came and visited me. Well, in 33 AD, the prison was not run by the government, okay? So if you had a family member that was in prison, or someone you cared about was in prison, they did not get clothes or food or taken care of because they're sick by the government. It's not the way it worked. That was yours to go do. You're the one that went and did it. So to go visit them was to take care of their needs. You went and took care of their needs, whatever they were. And I think it's really important. Reading the Bible in context is really, really important. I was talking to this about my life group last week about, and the week before, about your theology and making sure your theology is correct, because there's a lot of theology out there today that is completely wrong. It's on the internet, it's on the news, and it's completely wrong, and nobody bats an eye about it. But it's wrong. So you need to know if your theology is correct or incorrect. So biblical theology, context, is really important. And I also want to remind you that Jesus knew what he was saying in 33 AD. He knew that you would hear it in 2025. He already knew this. He knew that people would talk about this scripture. So it does not say to us, well, it's not what we do for prisoners today, so that's not what he meant, right? No, he knew, right? He knew you and he knew me, and he knew that he was speaking something we would hear 2,000 years later, and you and I would go, but that's not what a visit means, and that's not what we could do now. So here's what I want to remind you of. A life well lived, sometimes we offer our presence just as much as we offer our help, whatever that might be. Sometimes a visit is what someone needs the most. Just a visit, just to show up. Jesus knew what he was talking about, and he knew who he was talking about. Look at this. Remember, he says this in verse 25. He said, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Okay, he didn't say what you're doing for the stranger. He didn't say what you're doing for someone you don't know. He said, these people are my brothers and sisters, right? And he's looking at all the people standing around him. These are my brothers and sisters. I won't make you raise your hand because it would be all of us, but who's in need today? All of us. All of us have some need today, some fashion or form, some need. Some of you may need more coffee. And it's fine if you want to go up and get some. There's still some in there, Kevin, and there's still coffee in there. So if you get up and go get coffee, more power to you. It's okay with me. But all of us are in need today. All of us have some sort of need. And so why did Jesus ask us to do this? Why such an emphasis on this? Listen, Jesus loves you so much that he asked us to take care of you. Jesus loves you so much that he said, everyone around him, take care of him. Everyone around her, take care of her. Show him my love by how you take care of him. Show her my love by how much you take care of them. Jesus loves you so much that he told me to take care of you. Right? So what do we do? So what do we do with this? If our goal is to find and follow Jesus, I mean, that's why we're all here, right? That's why we show up every week, is how do I do this better? How do I do this God, Jesus, Bible, all this stuff better, right? If I'm going to live my life like this and not what's offered everywhere else in our culture and the world, if I'm sitting here listening to this, why, first of all, that was my big pick. Why should I even do this? I'm fine. I don't think I need God, Jesus, right? I'm good. Things are going pretty well for me. But they really weren't. But I told myself that. My question would be, why? And if I'm going to do this and find and follow Jesus, why? Why do I need this? But if that's our goal, to figure that out, and we talk a lot about that here, about finding and following Jesus, and we're going to talk about finding him, but this is the follow work of Jesus, right? I'm trying to figure out how to follow. This is what it looks like. Here's the problem that I bet you have. No one is sitting here at Sandusky going, you know what? I just don't like helping people. Okay? That's not you. You all are not doing that, right? No one is here going like, you know what I don't want to do? I just don't want to be nice. I don't want to be nice. That's not, you guys are not doing that. No one is doing that. And saying, you know what, I'd rather hungry people just be hungry. None of you are doing that. You're not acting that way. That's not what you're doing. My guess is that you have the same problem that I have. And when I read this, my anxiety goes up quite a bit because I see it everywhere. Everywhere I go. And where do we even start? That's always the question, like, oh, where do we start with this thing? Who do we even start helping, right? And I'm much like you. We can walk through downtown or drive and get off interstate, any highway, any road. It can be anywhere. And someone is holding a sign telling us they're in need, and with whatever's written on it, need for this, need that, need that. So how do we know who to help, right? How do we know? What do we do? I see people when I get gas at the gas station. I'll go to Quick Trip and I get gas, and somebody will come ask for help. And if we're supposed to feed them and clothe them and help them every time, and that's how we're treating Jesus, my anxiety could go up to a level of 100 because I'm thinking it's Jesus, right? That's what he said. So my anxiety goes up when I look at this person. So what do we do? How do we put together what you and I have been invited to in Matthew 25 with the reality of 2025 that we could see needs everywhere? I mean, just everywhere. So what do we do? Well, I'm gonna give you three things that I hope will help you today that are going to help you walk through. How do you know when it's yours to do? Okay? And the first thing I'd advise you to do is simply this. Look at people. Just make eye contact. Sometimes the best way you offer your presence is by offering your eye contact. Because maybe you're not like me. I'll just talk about me. There are times when I'm driving and I'm at a stoplight and they're asking for help, standing right outside my window, and suddenly there's something really interesting in my console. Right? You're laughing, but you know what I'm talking about. Because if I don't look at them right, they're not there. Right? They're just not there. What if we just started looking at people in need? What if we just started looking at them? As we're walking by them downtown, passing by them at the grocery store, meeting them while you're at the gas station, instead of looking away because it makes us uncomfortable, what if we just looked and made eye contact with people? Some of you are getting uncomfortable, like, I don't like this. What if that is all that person needs today is just to be seen? That's it. Just to be seen. You want to grow, you want to be changed, make eye contact. Look at people. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to give them something after that, okay? Here's the cool thing. If we're actually all doing this, and Jesus has asked all of us to care for people, then that when you make eye contact with that person, that's all you've been asked to do and you move on, maybe the next is mine. Maybe when I make eye contact with them, I'm supposed to meet that need. Maybe it's my turn to do that. Because after you look at them, then you got to do the second thing, which is this. Pay attention to the Spirit's nudge. If you're walking with Jesus, if you found and follow Jesus, if you're giving your life to him and the Holy Spirit is in you, then you know the feeling. You know this feeling. You kind of got an idea of what this is. The feeling that makes you go, I just don't want to, right? Because you feel it and you know it. Especially if you go home and you don't do anything about it, you go, oh, God was trying to get me to do something back there. You know it. You knew it before you even got home. But it's that feeling like, I don't want to. You know the, oh, yeah. You should help that person. You should ask that person if they're okay. You should see if you can pray for them next time you're at the gas pump, right? The things that make your stomach go, oh, man, are you sure you're the Holy Spirit, right? And you're thinking in your head, but you're not doing anything. So if we look at people and then we pay attention to our own gut, what our gut's telling us, and to the Holy Spirit inviting us to help, or if that was the help, then we do the third thing. Do for one. This is a quote from Andy Stanley. Check this out. He says this: do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. I thought this is good to use. Maybe this will help us understand a little bit better. You cannot help everyone. We can. Right? So you don't have to wear a cape, right? You're good. You don't have to wear a cape and take this on. You're good, okay? But if you want to look at people, offer them your eye contact, pay attention to any nudging of what it might look like to help, and then just do for one. Just do for one. Now, I know you. I've been in this church a long time. And I know what you want to do. I know what I want to do. We can't do for all, but we can do for one. We can do for one what you could wish you could do for everybody. It is a life well lived when it is a life where you love God and you love other people as you love yourself, and then show up in a way that Jesus invites us into Matthew 25. Just show up. Make the eye contact. Do whatever that takes. And it can be a literal physical need that you're trying to meet, that they're in need of. I had some friends in Arizona. This lady was one of my youth sponsors when I was there. And she had these, at the time, they were elementary kids. Now they're out of high school and they're grown, but they still do this. And the two kids, they'd ride around with their mom, and they would see, as they rode around, they would see people who were asking for help. Some of them with signs, some of them with words saying that we need some help. And so the kids didn't know what to do, so they started having this conversation. Now this conversation came this idea that they made up these little bags. And they still do it even today, and these kids are out of school, and they do it on their own now. But they have a pair of gloves, maybe socks, maybe some a water bottle, some perishable food, unperishable food. I think they used to put hand sanitizer in there, just different things. They'll mix it up once in a while. And they keep about five of them at the time. They keep about five bags in the car. And they'd look for people, and then they'd pay attention. And they aren't just rolling down their windows and just chucking bags out, when they go by somebody. They're not doing that, right? That's not what they did. But they were paying attention, and one of the kids said, hey, can we give them a bag? Can we help them? They'd hand them a bag. And so it was like, if you're hungry, can I feed you? Can I help you in some way? We're trying to help here. And so what would it look like just to throw an extra granola bar or an apple or something in your lunch, or when we get into colder months, just buy a package of socks and keep them in your car? Then we can be prepared when we look at someone, and when we do feel something, we don't go, I wish I had a, but I got nothing, right? I don't have anything. What would it look like to prepare a little bit to do for one what you wish you could do for everybody? What would that look like? Just to be prepared. Now, there may be somebody in your life group that's sick, and you can take them a meal, something like that. So, but this right here is a public service announcement, all right? If you get sick, stop telling us when we ask you what you can bring. Nothing, nothing, I don't need anything, nothing, I'm good, nothing, I just ordered it delivered, or whatever. Stop doing that. Let us help you. Okay, let us help you. Let your friends help you. We want to love you and remind you that you're not alone. Okay? We want to help. But so often we are so independent that before anybody can even help us, even if we're lying in bed and can't even breathe out, right? We're ordering our own food because, God forbid, somebody else could help us. Right? We're that stubborn. We'll be that stubborn. But actually, remember, the rest of us were instructed by Jesus to feed you and help you. That's kind of what the community of God looks like. It's what we do. We help each other. We were told by Jesus that the way to love, the way to live well, the way to love God and love others is to bring you a meal or help you with something while you're not feeling so well. Stop fixing it yourself, okay? Stop doing that. Let people help you. Let us be obedient to Jesus, what he told us to do, what he's asked us to do for you. Let us do that. Now, it can also be emotional needs that people have, not just physical needs. And you can start with guests here on Sunday morning, right? You can start looking at them and looking for them. So let's just start seeing them and saying, hey, what do you need? You want to go out to lunch with our family? Can we take you to lunch? Can I show you where the best gym is, the best coffee shop? Are you new to town? If they are new to town, say, hey, is there something I can help you with at your house? Do you need some stuff moved around, boxes gotten rid of, your apartment? Do we need to move some furniture around for you? What can we do? You know, they're a stranger and we invite them in. That's what it says. They were a stranger and you invite them in. Now, the Barna company, the Barna Stats, they're a company that does just statistics all the time, a research company, says that 23% of people in church are unmarried, single, one in four, basically. Do you see them? You know, we have a lot of families, but do you see them? Do you see the single people in our church? Did they sit around you? Yes. The math says you could reach one right now. Ask them to join you for lunch. See what they need. Okay? It's a good place to start. In the nation, it's 40% of people are unmarried, but in the church, it's 23%. So let's get the rest coming because they're welcome. Everybody's welcome, right? We want to see them. Someone needs to be comforted who's in grief or needs just a hug or cared for. A prisoner to shame, a prisoner to pain, a prisoner to grief. You don't know what they're going through. Can you sit with them and just pray with them and listen? Maybe that's what you do. Listen, everyone, I think, is hungry to be seen. Everybody. Every single person is hungry to be seen. Don't let their attitude and their outgoingness and all that deceive you. Because sometimes, like, oh, they're up here all the time. No, they're not, okay? So everybody, I think, needs to be seen. No matter how good a mood they're in all the time, they need to be seen. Okay, so my invitation to you today is, what does it look like for you to see people, to look at people, really look at them, not just passing by, not just a quick glance, but look at them, to pay attention to the Holy Spirit's nudge and to do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. It's pretty simple. There are volunteers who help serve your communion today. Can you just look at them? Just look at them the next time they serve you. There are greeters who met you at the door. Just make eye contact. And if you feel something nudge you, say, hey, thanks for doing this. Thanks for standing at the doors. Thank you for standing at the Welcome Center. Thank you for doing what you do every Sunday. Thanks for doing that. Pay attention at any nudge from the Holy Spirit this week as you're looking. What is he trying to tell you to do? Because remember, everyone is in need, and they're holding a sign, whether they're holding a sign about it or not. Everybody's in need. I've mentioned this before. We all walk through the doors on Sunday morning, you know, dressed however we want to dress, because we say, just come as you are. But people come through, and they're upbeat. They're looking for coffee and donuts. They're smiling and greeting each other. How you doing? How are you doing? Fine. How are you doing? Doing great. How are you doing? But the honest truth, if we really painted the correct picture, most people would be crawling through that door. Literally. Because of the week they had or the way life's going. If we literally said, come through the door like you really feel, it'd be a far different story if we just stood in the lobby and watched, like, oh, wow, it's not what I expected. Because aside from St. Francis and or Hillcrest and St. John's and Oklahoma, this is probably the next trauma center. Because people walk in here hurt all the time. They might just throw their story up to you, but it hadn't been the greatest week, right? They might eventually tell you, but this is like a trauma center on Sundays. Just trying to make it to Monday. And hopefully he can make it through the week. So it's tough. So if you feel a nudge, if you feel something, say something to him. Encourage him. Pray for him. The people who are teaching your kids right now about Jesus, right? Just see them. Pay attention to them. Tell them thank you. Pay attention to any nudge that you get. Because remember, everybody's in need. But we particularly get to help people who are asking, right? It's this list, right? It's this list right here. Hungry, gave me something to eat. Thirsty, gave me something to drink. Stranger, invited me in. Needed clothes, clothed me. Sick, looked after me. Prison, came to visit me. It's that list. And we could even be on both sides of that list at the same time, could we not? We could. We could. But this is a life well lived. This is it. A life well lived is when we clothe people who need it, visit people in prison, feed those who are hungry. This is a life well lived. This is what he's called us to do. So I promised you that I'd give you a thing that would help you grow, and it's all it's going to take is eye contact. That's it. Just eye contact. Just make eye contact. Because I'm pretty sure a majority of you will probably see somebody somewhere today who is in need. They may be standing on the street corner. They may be at your home. They may be your neighbor. They may be, who knows? You may go somewhere this afternoon. You may be at the fair and somebody's going to be in need. You're going to see something. And something's going to tell you, God, that's a need. Go talk to that person. And if you're like me, sometimes like, I don't want. And you know it's God going, yeah, you need to go say something. Make eye contact with them and go say something. May not have to give them anything. Maybe they just need somebody to talk to and listen. But it's that list. It's a well-lived life. Because those of us who are in Christ, when you know and love him, the Holy Spirit's going to take it from there. He's going to show you exactly what you need to do. He'll show you every single time. He'll show you what to do. And it may be all that person needs. Just a simple look, a simple hello, simple greeting. Or you may get to pass off a granola bar or a hug or a meal. You never know what it might be. But whatever it is, God's already prepared it. He's already made it so you can do it. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. I'm going to pray for us. And some of our leaders will be around here. And even afterwards, if you want, afterwards you need some prayer, they'll be here later if you want prayed for. But let me tell you first that if you have any need, anything at all that you want us to pray for, we would love to pray for you. Now, we don't need to hear the whole story, okay? I know some people says, I just can't tell you right now. That's fine. I don't need to know the story. All I need to know is I need prayed for. It's not good, and I need prayed for. I'm troubled. I'm struggling. I'm lost. I'm confused. I just need prayed for. I don't need to know the story. We just want to pray for you. That's what we want to do. And if you're in need, tell us how so we can help you. You know, if you want to be seen, you feel deeply lonely, tell us so we can pray for you. Let us pray for you. Let us help you in whatever way we can. Also, if you're hearing all this stuff about following Jesus and you're like, well, I want to find and follow him because it seems like he loves really well. Well, because it's true. He really does love really well. Love like you're not going to find anywhere else, nowhere else. It's completely different than what you probably experience. Because the Bible says that we love because he first loved us, right? He loved us despite our ugliness, how mean we've been to people, how much sin we've committed. He first loved us, knowing that about us. Now, most people would run from us, knowing that. Like, I'm not, no, thank you, bye, I'm out, right? God says, no, I'm going to love you first. So the reason we're able to do anything on that list is because we were first loved. God loved us first. We were first rescued, and therefore we can love others. So if you're still waiting on the rescue, waiting for something or someone to rescue you, we'd love to pray with you about that today too. Listen, he is the best thing that has ever happened to me. Ever. Ever. Best thing. Bar none, nothing even comes close. It is amazing what God can do in your life if you just let him. Just let him. So if you need Jesus, if you want to pray, we'd love to pray for you. So we're going to be here. We're going to sing a song. We're going to ask you to stand. And whatever your need is, whatever you want to talk about, we'll stay here as long as you need to listen. So let's stand. Let's sing.